worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We're grateful to have with us today as our in-studio guest, Jack Sonneman, and we'll be introducing him further in a few minutes. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 1 through 20, all of Matthew chapter 28. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the ways that your word blesses us. It guides us, it informs us, it teaches us, it empowers us to be the disciples you've called us to be. Guide us so that with every passing day, more and more, it's a priority for us in our lives to open your word every day and receive of your counsel, your wisdom, your guidance, your direction as you speak words of wisdom, words of life, words of insight into our lives. We thank you and praise you for the wonderful gift of your word. Help us to grow in our love for it every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're grateful to have all of our listeners that are listening and joining us today by way of radio, by way of online streaming, and whatever other means they're listening as well. Let me remind you, again, if you're wanting to be sure that you can tune in to Urban, wherever you might go, this is one more means whereby you can do that. We want to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk. With this app, you can take Urban Family wherever you might go, so you can listen anywhere in the world, whether you're in the U.S. or China, Australia, wherever you might be, you can listen to Urban wherever you might go. We want to encourage our listeners to get the mobile apps. And also, please go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com. And please subscribe, we'd appreciate you tuning in that way as well and plugging in that way. Let me remind you once again, we are still looking for listener testimonies. Want to encourage you, please, please, please take the time to call us and share a testimony of how the Lord has used Urban Family Talk to encourage you in your walk as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. Call and share a listener testimony, and again, we may have the opportunity to use it during our fall share-a-thon a few weeks away. Please give us a call. Once again, that number is 1 877-327-5647. And finally, again, we want to remind you again, if you haven't taken the opportunity to join us by way of the Churban, we invite you to do that. Simply go to our website at www.urbanfamilytalk.com. Go to the left side of the page, click on Menu, then click on Radio Programs, scroll down to the Hour of Intercession. Once on the Hour of Intercession, scroll down and find Podcasts. Next to Podcasts is the term the Churban, and click on the Churban. And next you'll see the Churban box within the top corner of the box and arrow. Click on the arrow, and you can log in as a guest or log in using your Facebook account. Again, following those steps, we'd be glad and encourage you. Please join us by way of the Churban as well. Well, we're grateful to have with us in studio today, Jack Sonneman. Jack is the director of the ministry, Australian Federation for the Family. Jack, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Joseph, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be here. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Appreciate you joining us today. And Jack, as we start, I'm going to ask if you'll tell our listeners again, of course, again, we have people listening, like say, by way of radio, obviously, some in the Churban, some on Africa TV as well. But also, we may have people, by way of the app, listening from other countries as well. And so I want you to tell our listeners about yourself and of course, the place where you minister as well, too.
Joseph, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and I've lived the first half of my life there.
Okay.
And the second half, I've lived in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to Australia and were shocked at the display and availability of pornographic imagery to children.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we don't display smut to children in Memphis. I grew up with it being restricted.
Mm-hmm.
And moved to Melbourne, and they have the covers of the porn magazines blown up 2-foot by 3-foot posters. Mm-hmm. And they put them in storefront windows. You can't even walk past a shopping area mm-hmm. without being visually assaulted by massive posters of pornographic imagery. And my wife was shocked. I was shocked. In fact, we'd walk past a shop, and Margaret would say, Jack, look at that. No, don't look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, we have children walking past these posters. We have children in strollers being pushed past these posters, and they're all becoming psychologically desensitized to the pornographer's portrayal of women.
Mm-hmm.
And it is destroying the culture that our children are inheriting. And we need to do something. And so we decided to do something. I didn't go to Australia to be a ministry rep for anybody or anything. Mm-hmm. We went there for a better, because we felt God told us to move there.
Mm-hmm.
And we come and we're shocked by this. So we began the ministry that is now known as the Australian Federation for the Family. And we've been phenomenally successful because God has shown himself strong on our behalf in a number of instances where we see our children being better protected in Australia. For example, they can no longer take the covers of the magazines like that and blow them up. In fact, we have bankrupted Playboy magazine in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
The Playboy editor in Australia debated me on national television, and they fired him. After mm-hmm. the debate, the
penthouse. You must be a mighty good debater, Jack.
Well, you know, it wasn't me. It's like the Penthouse editor was scheduled to appear that night on A Current Affair, and he wouldn't even show up.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't even show up. He's not.
He wanted to keep his job.
Well, that's good.
Now, don't mess with Jack.
The thing is, he's not scared of me. John mm-hmm. chapter 3, verse 20. John chapter 3, verse mm-hmm. 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. He didn't want the people on national television in Australia to see what he was publishing.
And, of course, it's the Holy Spirit working through you as well, the success you've seen as well.
Well, the best thing about it all is I can take no credit for it mm-hmm. because I don't know what I'm doing. I can't say it's because of my lobbying expertise or my business ability or my forte in psychology or anything at all. I can take no credit for what we've seen. I can lay it all at the feet of Jesus, which is a good thing
mm-hmm.
because when I fail, I don't have to worry about it. All I need to do is keep mm-hmm. speaking. The mm-hmm. only people that don't make mistakes are people that don't do anything.
That's right. Well, Jack, let me jump in real quick and just mention this too. You know, of course, pornography is a tragic problem in the U.S. culture as well, but part of what you're getting at is that you're saying in Australia the problem is magnified several times over.
Well, what would you think if your children had legal access to the display, sale, and perusal of Penthouse magazine mm-hmm. like they do in our state of Queensland? A three-year-old can walk in and pick it up and look at it. Whether they do or not is not the issue. The issue is, should children in our culture be protected from unrestricted access to grossly pornographic imagery as is contained in Penthouse Magazine? I think they should be protected, so I'm going to protect them. Now, we have in Australia the Office of Film and Literature Classification that unfortunately puts Penthouse in an unrestricted category. Now, in my very humble way of looking at things, I think they have become desensitized, and they wouldn't recognize a pornographic imagery if it slapped them in the face. Any thinking human knows Penthouse is pornography and should be restricted, and children shouldn't have access to it. So what we've had to do is go on a state-by-state basis and lobby the attorneys general in each of our states and have them come in and overrule the inadequate national guidelines, which we're still working on in the state of Queensland, believe it or not.
Okay, now, how many states are in the nation of Australia?
We have seven states and two territories.
Okay, and which state do you live in?
I live in Tasmania. Tasmania is actually an island about 100 miles below the southern coast of Australia.
That's where the Bugs Bunny Tasmanian Devil comes from.
That's where
right?
the Tasmanian Devil is, yes, and it's a real critter, and we have them all over the place. They're alive and well in Tasmania.
You got bit by one once.
Right? I got bit by one. Almost.
Stay away from those Tasmanian devils.
They can be devils. They can be devils.
Okay. Okay. Well, so Jack, you're the founder. You and your wife are the founders of the Australian Federation for the Family. And you know, I think of this too. You shared with us in devotion this morning here at AFA. And Jack, I was really blessed by you sharing your heart and the work that you all do, because one of the things, along with the fact that you're serving as a salt and light ministry in a culture that desperately needs it, but also God has blessed you to see a lot of success in the things you've pursued doing. Would you talk a little bit more about that?
Thank you. And yes, you know, we have a little newsletter we publish, and we list the advertisers, the finances of pornographic imagery in Australia, and we've been 100% successful in our boycott campaigns. I don't know how to do any better than 100% success. So successful that we have run Playboy magazine out of Australia. It no
Praise
longer
God.
Exists.
Praise God.
You need to do the same thing here, by the way. But we have, not only that, pay TV in Australia. They were setting up the standards for pay TV, and we're going to approve X-rated. It was a done deal because, of course, all of the experts told them there's nothing wrong with porn. All the experts have told them there's no one's influenced by what they see. With any advertising expert will tell you it's foolish. But anyway, the pro-porn lobby says nothing's wrong with porn. Well, they lie. All the data is on our side. It's not on their side. But what we did is we brought Dr. Judith Reisman from here in the U.S. to Australia to testify before the committee. And after they heard her testimony, they banned X-rated on pay TV in Australia. And it all happened because I decided to try to do something. I did not know what to do, but we decided to do something. Let God direct you, but it's like the rudder on a ship. That rudder could be moving furiously, but if the ship is not moving, the rudder is being wasted. So we're moving. We're constantly trying to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. There's not going to be any porn in heaven. We can try to do what we can to clean it up here. Now, it is a winnable war, and we've been encouraged by our successes, but we're not going to win the war if we do not fight the battles. We're not going to win every battle, but the battles we don't win, we forget about them and go on and fight another one, just the same way World War II was won.
You know, it's powerful to think of all that's going on there in that regard, but the fact is, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and so it's important for us as believers to recognize that need there. Father, thank you, Lord, for Jack, and thank you for the ministry you've called him to, and thank you for the work that they're doing. Bless their ministry and prosper the work of their hands. Direct their steps more and more to your perfect will. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Jack Sonneman of the Australian Federation for the Family. We'll be right back.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
One of my granddaughter's classmates was killed in a car accident. She was only 3 years old, and it was difficult for everyone involved to grasp her being gone. It seemed so senseless on our end, but for those who are believers, we understood that the Lord makes no mistakes. How we were able to get 2- and 3-year-olds to understand what actually happened was difficult at best, but we shared the love that God has for us and prayed for God to do the rest. And I couldn't help but think about how difficult it is for adults to grasp death. So how in the world were we going to get children to accept what God allowed? In your life, understand that God makes no mistakes. He is all-wise, all-knowing, and omnipresent. He not only knows what's taking place, but is able to adjust the now to make the future what it needs to be. Trust God today and sleep peacefully, knowing that He's got it all under control. Accept what God allows. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
When I think on redeeming grace and the wonders of you, your glorious power displayed on me. I long to behold your beautiful face and to worship at your throne. That is my stride, where I belong. Come on, everybody, say, oh, 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 oh. Marvelous are you.
Marvelous are you.
Oh, 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 oh. Marvelous are you. Glorious power displayed on me.
You're listening to the music of Micah Stampley. Micah Stampley singing Marvelous. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're grateful to have as our in-studio guest today, Jack Sonneman. He's the director of the Australian Federation for the Family. So how many years have you lived in Australia now, Jack?
You know, it's been 33 years.
33 years.
Yes.
Okay. The same age that Jesus
walked
on this earth.
Isn't that something? Yes, indeed.
So this is a milestone year in some way for you.
Well, it could be. Let's hope so. Let's see our culture become a nicer place for our children.
Yes, sir. As we start off this segment, would you take time to pray for our listeners to really grasp the need for us to see this as the serious issue that it is for the kingdom of God?
Yes.
The ways we're to help address it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us to be your arms, your legs, your people, your voice.
Thank you.
You have chosen Jesus. To use us to implement your provisions in the earth. In fact, you tell Jesus. Us to establish your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
We, and in fact, the last thing you said to us as you were leaving was to Thank occupy you, until yes, I return.
Jesus.
Please forgive us for not occupying the land.
Yes, Lord.
Please forgive us, especially us men, for not being the men of God. To show our children a better culture, to show our wives a better person,
yes, Lord,
to show our
Jesus.
Neighbors that Christianity is good for our culture how we
Jesus.
Are to be a curb against what is bad for our culture.
Thank you, Lord.
The only way
Jesus.
We can overcome what is bad is by doing what is good.
Thank
Please
you.
Help us bring you into these situations because it is so bad today that without you there is no hope.
Thank you, Lord.
There is
Jesus.
No solution apart from the gospel. And the gospel is where the solution is. Help us be the people that will bring that gospel about. But please do take the scales off our eyes and help us see the reality of what's happening. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I do thank you. Thank you for Jack. And again, thank you for the work you've called he and his wife and his family to. And thank you for the very effective ministry you've made this ministry to be. Father, bless the Australian Federation for the Family, indeed expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Father, raise up many more prayer warriors, intercessors that will
yes.
pray much for the work that they do. And help us as a church to recognize the seriousness of this issue, that pornography is a tool in the hands of Satan and much damage, much trouble, much darkness is brought on the land through the spread of this tragic reality. Help us as the church to push back the darkness as we spread your light, and help us to stand up and boldly be the light you called us to be. We thank you.
Yes.
We praise you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jack is the director of the Australian Federation for the Family. Tell me, Jack, how, from your perspective as one who's worked in this kind of ministry for many, many years, how do you see porn? How is it? Have you seen it affecting people in Australian culture and American culture as well?
We have people on, in fact, we have judges in Australia that do not jail 21-year-olds for sex with 12-year-old girls.
Hmm.
They don't consider that to be a jailable offense.
Hmm. So that's not statutory rape in Australia?
Though. Well, if it's statutory rape, they don't put them in prison for it.
Oh, okay. They don't prosecute them.
They don't prosecute them.
Hmm.
These are judges that do that. Now, what are those judges into? We see juries in Australia that really that have sentences for child molesting. Well, recently, a multiple rapist got 6 days in jail.
Mm-hmm.
These things are going on because of a porn-saturated culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably worse in Australia, but here in America, one of the speakers at a conference that I just attended in Houston, the Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation, your listeners should Google CESE Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation. People from all over the world came together, and I was literally shocked at the data from the experts about what's going on. Nancy Jill Sales, a contributing editor for Vanity Fair magazine, launched this book. At the when she was signing this for me, I told her I had 5 granddaughters under 7, and she stopped signing, looked up at me right in the eyes, and said, "Do not let them get a smartphone." She looked at me and said, "Do not let them around other children with smartphones." I hope your listeners are listening to that and taking her at her word. She says that social media is producing a new type of childhood. Social media is destroying our children's lives, according to the girls that she interviewed all over America. They say it's destroying our lives. It's obsessing them and consuming them, and we are now in an unprecedented moment in human history due to social media. It's distorting their worldview.
And what is the name of this book now?
This is called American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. Social Media and the Secret Lives by Nancy Jill Sales. She interviewed teen girls in shopping centers and malls all across America, in schools and homes and families all across America. And they're disturbed by it, but they're consumed by it. It's like other addictions. A heroin addict may be concerned by his addiction, but he's consumed by it.
Right.
Children enjoy some type of protection from other addictions, but the addiction to pornography, they are not protected from. and they're exposed to and they're consumed by, and it's destroying their view of themselves, of their friends, of their parents, of human sexuality, of marriage, of love. It's giving them a distorted picture of reality. The pornographers, it's like we're giving them our children. We're giving them to them.
And the smartphones are a tool whereby that happens.
Like never before. Mm. Like never before in history have children been able to pick up and view pornographic imagery. And listen, Pastor Joseph, all of these experts from around the world, whether they were talking about sex slavery, whether they're talking about prostitution, whether they're talking about child pornography, whether they're talking about any of these issues, they all laid the blame on porn. Mm. We've allowed our culture to become pornified so much so that it is destroying our idea of human sexuality and relationships. Mm-hmm. And parents need to recognize what's going on. Josh McDowell was also at this conference, and he said the greatest hindrance to the gospel in the world today, Pastor Joseph, the greatest hindrance to the gospel in the world today is pornography. The greatest hindrance to it. Well, now, all your listeners, what are you doing about the pornography in your culture? Mm-hmm. What are you doing about the pornography in your local shop or in your on your television or in the magazines? Or even worse, what are you doing about the porn that you look at? This report was just published by Josh McDowell, by the Barna Institute, the porn phenomenon, the impact of pornography in the digital age. He says the porn crisis is not coming, it is here. And he talks about the porn use in the church. He heard about my little granddaughters, as everybody at the conference did, because I was one of the presenters. And he said to me, who are they going to marry? And it hurt me because, you want them to marry boys that they grew up with in the church, but he tells stories of boys in the church showing other boys in the church or other boys in their Christian school porn on their cell phones, on their smartphones.
In church.
In church, in the Christian schools. Boys that don't want to look at it and who have never looked at it have to look at it in order to become normal. And this is what's going on in the church. He says there is not one church in the world that doesn't have a pornography problem. That's how bad it is. Not one. Now, with having said that, let me ask your listeners, what is their church doing about the porn problem in their church? If there is not one church in the world, according to Josh McDowell, that's not me. If there's not one church in the world that doesn't have a porn problem, what is your church doing about the porn problem in your church?
You know, Jack, I think of this too. Like one of the huge issues in the midst of this, of course, is smartphones. The fact that once upon a time, of course, a telephone is what you use simply to call people on. Well, now they have internet. They have access to basically the internet world. And there's so many things that are so readily and easily available by way of smartphones and iPhones and that sort of thing, too. And small children have them. Little kids have them.
Pastor Joseph, you would not believe the data coming out from... We even had the chief of the vice squad, the captain who heads the vice squad for the Houston police, giving a presentation at this conference. We had people like that. You would not believe the data coming forth from these people about two-year-olds and three-year-olds and four-year-olds having an internet presence. Two-year-olds and three-year-olds. But let me encourage you. You know, in the UK, when you buy a smartphone or buy a computer, listen to this and be encouraged by this, you cannot access pornography on it. Now, is that not a good idea?
In the United Kingdom.
In the United Kingdom. Now, that's not...
England.
That's not a backwater country or an Arab country or, you know, that's a Western nation in the UK. You cannot... Go to the app. Go to the iPhone store, Apple store, and buy a smartphone and access porn on it. You can't do it. What you have to do is fill out a form and opt in if you want porn on your computer system, on your phone system. Is that not a good idea?
That is a great idea.
Why don't we do that here?
That's a good idea.
Now not only that came from the idea that originated from the gambling sites, because the people that want to protect the families from gambling, They had regulations that said you not only do you have to opt in to the gambling site, but you have to give the authorities a two-paragraph description of how you are going to protect your children from getting into that gambling site. Now, this is what the people who just passed the legislation came to this conference and told us. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening today. So why don't we get legislation here in the U.S.? We've been lobbying for the same legislation in Australia for a long time. We would like the government to pass a law that says you cannot send internet porn to my device unless I ask to receive it. And then you have to be so old, you have to have a credit card, you have to be over 18. Mm-hmm. And in the UK, for the gambling site, you have to give that description of how you're going to protect your children. Mm-hmm. And so we also maybe want to put something like that in for the porn site.
Mm.
And but so there are things happening.
And there are measures that can be taken to dramatically affect this if we'll just take the time to do those things.
We're going to have to create the political will. Another example is the prostitution problem. It's a horrid problem. You wouldn't believe the stats and the data about prostitution around the world. We had some of the top people here in America, and listen to this, Pastor Joseph. They said if the present laws in America were enforced, mm-hmm. there'd be no prostitution.
Hmm.
Let me repeat that. If the laws we have on the books right now in the U.S. were enforced, there would be no prostitution in America.
Hmm.
I hope we can all say praise God to that. So we need to create the political will for those in office to just simply defend and uphold and act upon the existing laws. Now, there is a big push, not from the Christian groups, but from the feminist groups, to enact the Nordic model on prostitution, which, in my opinion, from a Christian worldview, it cannot be supported. Mm-hmm. But from a feminist worldview, it can. But all it does, it penalizes the men.
Mm-hmm.
Feminists, a lot of them, at least these, I think, hate men.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to do everything they can to just pour everything off on the men. Well, it's a two-way street with the prostitution thing. Having said that, with a biblical Christian worldview, God's people have to be against all aspects of prostitution, not right. just the men using the services.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a moment now just to pray about some of the specific things you mentioned. Thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty over all of our lives and all the circumstances in our world. And Lord, thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you again, Father, for Jack and his wife and the great work they're doing through the Australian Federation for the Family. Lord, thank you for every person listening today. Lord, help us to have ears to hear as you help us to better understand that there are things that all of us can do to help address this issue, ways in which we can obviously avoid using it in any way ourselves, but also that we can have influence and also as parents be wise enough to be careful what kind of devices we allow our children to use and the things they have access to. Help us as a church to really do our part to be salt and light in addressing these issues. And Lord, help us to be willing to preach and teach and address these things as well. Help us more and more to recognize the seriousness of this issue and all the ways in which it affects our society and the people and the families that make up society as well. Guide us in being the church you want us to be in addressing this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, so Jack, again, as far as this, especially as it relates to parents, what are some insight? And we'll be coming into a break in just a few moments, though. But I want you to start, but on the other side, tell us more about advice you'd give to parents as to how to really safeguard their children, insight, steps they can take to be wiser parents in dealing with this issue in our culture.
Yes, well, there's so many things we can do. Communicate with your children.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate with your children. Communicate with your children. And don't say the Bible says this or the Bible says that. I mean, yes, that's good. And teach them a biblical lifestyle and culture. But talk to them about what if somebody asks them to expose themselves? What if somebody asks them to do something immoral? Or what if somebody asks them to do something a little bit risque?
Mm-hmm.
And tell them how to recognize the signs that they're in danger so they can say, no, I don't want to do that, because children mm-hmm. have an innate moral sense about them.
That's right.
And they can come along and be corrupted, and it is being corrupted. Pornography is giving them a false view of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know it's bad to take pornographic pictures of themselves and send them to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have that. Because of the way pornography has corrupted. Imagine, you know, my generation doing something like that. It's beyond comprehension, yet we have 4-year-olds doing that today, mm-hmm. 8-year-olds doing that today.
We'll jump in here and pick up right there on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Jack Sonneman, the director of Australian Federation for the Family. We'll be right back.
The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Bankers, retailers, investment advisors, even friends and family, it seems like everybody's got ideas about what we should do with our money. But Dr. Tony Evans explains why we should be seeking advice from a higher source as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Doing business God's way and doing business man's way are two different ways of doing business. That's very important. If you handle your funds like everybody else, don't be surprised that you're in the mess that everybody else is in. And one of the reasons we're in such financial messes as families and as individuals is that the world has set our agenda. The rest of the citizens have set our program, so God is not able to bless us according to his approach. If you take the world's way of handling your money, then you get the world to help you. And the Bible says one of the ways you know that the world is in charge of you is that you have become a slave to the lender. The Bible says the borrower is a slave to the lender. And if you are a slave to the banks, if you are a slave to your debts, some of us need to have plastic surgery. We need to cut off those credit cards because we are enslaved to them. They can claim our lives, our home, our cars. Every dime in your home was given to you by God. It all belongs to God. And while only a portion directly goes to his storehouse, the local church, all of it is to be managed for his glory.
Learn more about how a godly husband and father watches over his family's finances and faith. Check out Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It'll teach you how to follow God's agenda at home, at work, at church, and in society. Get a copy for yourself and order some extras for your church. Details on Kingdom Man are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Ty Tribbett, the song You Are Everything. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk again. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our guest, in-studio guest today, is Jack Sonneman, the director of the Australian Federation for the Family. Jack, if you'll pick up where you left off, you're talking about small children, a little four-year-olds, and basically the need for parents to prepare our kids for the traps and the things they just really have to be careful of that are out there because of the way our culture is set today.
Pastor Joseph, the reason we need to do this is because the culture they're getting now is corrupted. It's not normal. In fact, one of the presenters at this conference, it's Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation, and people need to Google CESE, Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation Summit. the 2016 summit, for one of the presenters, not a Christian, one of the premier authorities in the world came out and said she has a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, both girls. She said each time she knew she was having a girl, she cried. Mm. Isn't that horrible? Mm. Because of the culture that she knows her little girl is being raised in. Mm-hmm. From the secular authorities and Satan, they see no hope. Mm-hmm. And apart from Christ, there is no hope. The enemy is too big. The numbers are too massive. The money is immense. There's no way possible. Mm-hmm. Apart from bringing Christ into the picture, will we see victory? What you need to do with your families and your children, number one, keep them away from smartphones. Take them away from them. Mm-hmm. Some of the people were talking about filter, 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 block, 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 monitor, monitor, monitor. And you do have to do that. That's very important. The best way to do it, though, is to not have the material there. And that's why we need to press federally, massively, for this opt-in legislation, although that won't knock it all out, that will be a massive step in the right direction where your family can protect the children. Also, talk about online activity to your little children. Talk about it. Parents don't know what Snapchat means. Parents just don't know. I mean, I didn't know what half the things, the names of these things these presenters were talking about.
Right.
And so I have to learn. I'm guilty of this.
What was the term you said? Digital immigrants.
Isn't that something? They called us digital. My generation, they called us digital immigrants.
So us parents and grandparents. Parents and grandparents. And that's digital immigrants.
Digital immigrants. Yeah, and that's a term. I guess it's in the new lexicon. Well, I'm certainly one of them.
Whereas our children are growing up, they're very, very inundated with this whole world.
They're full on. Totally full. They have a whole new vernacular. In that book that I encourage everyone to get, American Girls by Nancy Jo Sales, she talks about all this, and she had to ask some of the girls, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. These are girls in shopping malls that they all know. They all know. They all know the vernacular, but we don't, being the digital immigrants that we are. Discourage your children from sharing any form of personal information online at all. Any form of personal information at all. Discuss the dangers with them about talking about personal information, especially anything to do with nudity or sex. It's very
sexting.
Dangerous. Yes, sexting, that was unheard of just recently. It's a new phenomenon in human history. And this new phenomenon, this presenter that was so concerned about having a girl, because our culture is so bad, it's like when you take a child and throw it into a mud puddle, that mud puddle does not become childy. And we think we can take our children and throw them into a school system because they're Christian and they'll not be affected. That's not the way it works.
That's right.
Scripture says bad company corrupts good morals. We need to protect our children, especially today, more so than they've ever been protected. Discuss the dangers about all of this, and first and foremost, with our little girls especially, stay modest. There was a lady there talking about the dance culture today, and she has a Christian ministry to dance. Dance should be glorifying to God. David danced before the Lord. It's a form of worship, and it's been perverted. And they were showing clips of some dance competitions, and these are little girls, look, 6 and 7. One of the girls said, because the instructors are telling them to do all this stuff, and this one girl said, but we're only 11 years old. And it's like they're expecting them to be strippers. And I wasn't going to go to this workshop, but I left my notebook in the room where they had it. And I went in there, and I saw the thing, and I cried because my little granddaughters go to dance classes. And I looked at what's going on, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I want them to not. I want them to be shocked by that culture. And it's kind of like the ancient Hebrew women, when their children were ready to ingest solid food, they couldn't go down and buy little Gerber's baby food.
They
would actually chew the food for their children and touch it to their palate. They would instill in their children a taste for things that were good for them. So as their children were growing older, when they tasted things that were bad for them, they didn't like it. The problem with today, our culture is teaching our children that a pornographic culture is good for them.
That's right.
And we need to turn that around.
Bad, just terrible values that kids are consuming.
Oh, look, yes, the swear words, the violence, the sexual imagery, the sexual vocabulary. We need to teach them the things that are good for them. We want our children, so when they see the things that are bad for them. Now, the culture is pounding this away to them over and over and over and over. And so that's why I say apart from Christ, we're not going to win. Mm-hmm. There's too big. The enemy's too big. The culture is too phenomenal. You just simply would not believe the numbers and the ways these pornographers have decided to reach in with the free porn stuff to get into our children's apps. So they will then see the free stuff and then go on into the pay stuff.
Well, you know, later. Jack, let me just mention this. You know, one of the issues, too, is that you have parents that will buy such young children iPhones and Androids and that kind of thing. Well, you know, I think of this something that is sad that's happened just several times tragically, and often it'll make the national news where
yes.
You have maybe, for example, say a young girl or a young boy sometimes that takes a picture of themselves unclothed, sends it to, in their mind, a boyfriend, a girlfriend,
yes.
Someone that they think, well,
they can trust.
I can trust them. Well, I know of one instance where a girl sent her boyfriend a picture of herself unclothed. Well, they broke up, and the new girlfriend got a hold of the picture, sent it viral, and the other girlfriend was so embarrassed, she took her own life.
Yeah.
And so the reality is these smartphones are devices that many times our children have them but aren't mature enough to use them wisely. Plus, they're dangerous tools for predators to gain access to them. So many issues that parents really have to be wise and aware of.
Pastor Joseph, I hope listeners hear this. That's why all of these presenters were saying, don't let your children have one. Don't mm-hmm. let them have one. Don't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, when I came here for this conference and to come here to the American Family Association, mm-hmm. my little 5-year-old granddaughter, Meg, now this is in Tasmania in a country town, homeschooling parents, mm-hmm. Not involved in it. I said, what do you want me to bring you back from the U.S.? She said, an iPhone.
Five-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Everybody laughed and stuff, and of course her mother said, "Don't you dare bring her back an iPhone." So, I mean, I'm not going to bring her back. I'll bring her back a doll or something.
Y'all know better.
but that's that's the youth mentality now, mm-hmm. and that's what they've got to have. And this Nancy Jo Sales book, she just interviews girls across America, mm-hmm. all over the U.S. and they all look. It's and like the story that you told, there are thousands of stories like that, literally thousands. I mean, if we know about one, think of all that we don't know about,
right.
that nobody ever knows about. Some poor girl kills herself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's in America. What they have everything going for them, mm-hmm. and they kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the doorway leads that they walk through, marked pornography. Mm-hmm. We need to shut that door for them. They don't know it's wrong or bad. It's not their fault. Children are taught from birth to imitate adult behavior. And they see the adult behavior in the porn, and they think, well, what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially
it's adults that provide this.
Their parents wouldn't do anything that was bad. They wouldn't give them anything bad. Mm-hmm. Now, that's another way that the predators prey on them by telling the guy at the local shop wouldn't sell anything bad if he's selling porn.
Mm-hmm.
It must be okay because it's sold right there in the corner. And I'd encourage parents to see what's being sold in your corner shops. That's why we have bankrupted Playboy magazine. We bankrupted we boycotted the retailers and the advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about our morality. They care about our money.
Mm-hmm.
So we speak to them in a language they can understand. It's called economics. Everybody understands economics. And that's why we have pulled out all the advertisers in porn. That's why we have boycotted. That's why AFA has done the boycott with Target, with mm-hmm. allowing the men in the girls' bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And they've undercapitalized now billions and billions. And they understand that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about our morality, but they sure care about our money.
That's right.
So we just took a page out of Don Wildman's book when we started this ministry in Australia, and we found that to be an effective way. And all parents can do it. All anyone can look around them and just speak.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you speak, you might think you'll be made foolish. Well, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Speak on behalf of the children. They can't speak. They don't know
That's
enough
right.
to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do. We're grown-ups. We need to act like grown-ups and protect our children.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jack, our time is almost gone, though. In the last few minutes, I want to ask, how can believers support your ministry? How would you like for them to pray for you? How can they get in touch with you if they want more information? Or how can they come alongside you with what you do?
Jack@ausfamily.org. That's my email. Jack@ausfamily.org will reach my desk in Tasmania. Jack@ausfamily.org. The website is www.ausfamily.org. You know, Margaret and I Pastor Joseph actually talked about how we can feel it when people are praying for us. I have been sued in the Supreme Court by the Attorney General. I have taken a state government to court. I have gone before the Supreme Court in Australia. I've gone before many local courts and many state councils and city councils. And I need help. I need to be held up. I need to have my arms helped hold them up because it's tough. But I'm going to continue to do it. I'm going to do it until I don't have breath. Because it's for the sake of my little grandchildren and your grandchildren and their grandchildren and children and everyone else. They need to be better protected. They need to see that not only do they have a Savior in Jesus, they have a friend and a champion, someone who's concerned about them. So I need help like that. And, of course, I tell people at meetings sometimes when I share the successes, people applaud. And I say, don't applaud. Send money.
That's right. That's the real applause.
We have a faith ministry, my wife and I do. I've never charged for anything. I don't charge for my newsletter. I don't charge to go speak somewhere. I spend a lot of time doing research and putting in submissions to Parliament. Some work, some don't. But we don't know what's going to work until we do it.
Right.
It's like little shepherd boy David. He picked up five stones before he slew Goliath. He didn't know what was going to work. But he was going to do something. It's like me. I'm going to do something. It's just I need help to continue down this path. God's looking after me, and God will take care of me. You know, it's just so much nicer to know when people come alongside you. Get an encouraging note or get a question even. If somebody asks you something, they must look up to you to want to know what you think about something, and I appreciate that. But also, you know, with these leaders at this conference, the ones coming from a secular perspective, it's great stuff, but we have to come from a biblical perspective. And if they're going to support a law that allows our daughters to work as prostitutes, I can't support that law.
That's
right. I have to go higher. C.S. Lewis said, we reach for the heavens and we get the earth thrown in. Reach for the earth and we get neither.
That's right.
Us as biblical Christians have to get our mind off the things of the world and onto the things of Christ. And I get encouraged all the time by Christians with a biblical Christian worldview coming alongside and realizing we can't accept the socialist proposals. We can't accept the humanist proposals. You know, although coming from expert after expert, we have to look above that and see what the Bible says about it. And that's what we have to address.
That's right. That's right. Well, Jack, again, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing just about the work that you do. And, of course, your primary area of your mission field has been Australia. But, of course, there's a lot of insight that though it, you know, it's things you address in Australia, they very much need to be addressed in our culture and country as well. So I want to encourage every single listener, please again go to his website. Share the website again, Jack.
It's ausfamily.org, ausfamily.org.
Learn more about the work that he does and the title of the two books you mentioned as well. Give them again.
The Porn Phenomenon, Josh McDowell, The Porn Phenomenon, and then American Girls by Nancy Jo Sales. I would encourage you to get both of them, read them like I did, and weep with me.
Weep and then pray and pray hard because we serve a big, big God. Praise God. Thank you, Jack, so much for being with us today.
Pastor Joseph, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. We appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.